This episode of GG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, January 30th, 2017. We are back for another week of The Courtroom. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Hope you guys had a good weekend. It's Monday, so that sucks. But the podcast is back, so that is glorious. A very nice little interesting six games on tap. However, keep note, if you're playing tonight, that Sacramento-Philly is a rescheduled game when I forgot. This must have been the game when there was like some mist or fog on the court or something crazy like that that happened in Philadelphia a few weeks ago, and that game got postponed. So they're doing the makeup on Monday, but it's a 6 p.m. Eastern start, which I don't know why the hell they did that. So there's basically like two slates on most of the sites around in the DFS industry. There's like an early or an all-day slate starting at 6 p.m., which includes six games. And then there's the main slate, which starts at 7:30 Eastern, that has five games. So just because I did hear from a few of you that did want me to touch upon that Sacramento-Philly game, I will include that for the most part in the show when we go through the top plays. But keep note of the different times. Like, I know for me, I'm going to be playing mostly just the main slate because I just can't be ready in time for 6 p.m. I mean, my real job just doesn't really allow that most times. So maybe if I do, I'll play small the 6 p.m. all day slate to include that Sacramento Philly game. I do enjoy a six game slate to a five game slate, but just because my own circumstances dictate when I can be fully prepared for the slate, I'll be playing more of that five game slate, which starts at I think 7:30 Eastern. So whatever works for you, that's what you should play. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Before, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. That helps us very much. Also, when I tweet out the show on the social media globe via Twitter, if you guys could retweet it, that would be phenomenal. Let's see how many retweets we can get. I mean, last week, I think the first day I asked you guys to retweet it out, I think we did really well. And then the rest of the week, it was kind of mediocre. I'm not going to lie. The bailiff and me, we're a little disappointed in you guys. We can do better. So more retweets. So when I tweet it out, retweet it across the globe, would be much appreciated. Also, please download the Draft app. Why do I say – I think I've said that maybe on 40% of the shows I say please download the Draft app instead of the app Draft. Even though I'm looking at my screen on the show sheet and it says that. But I'm telling you guys, I say this every day. When it's 4 a.m. in the morning, weird things happen. And unfortunately, that's when the judge has to tape the podcast. But please download the app Draft and use the promo code DFBPOD when you download. And remember, if you download and you can't find the place to put the promo code, just let the judge know. You can tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 or go to the website dgcourtroomdfs.com and email me there. And when you do tweet or email me, let me know what your username is on Draft, and I will make sure that gets rectified. Also, if you would like a premium service, a consultation with the judge, 30 minutes or a more in-depth 1 hour where we actually have time to go over some of your lineups. I think I've blocked off some time this week to have some consultations because I know the last few weeks I've been able to do like one or two, which has been so crazy. So I'm hoping this week just to do a couple. I have a waiting list of some guys who've wanted to do one for a while. So if you want one, again, I would ask now, as I'm not sure how long I will be doing them. I'm giving you all the secrets, all the tricks of the judge's trade come out during the consultations. But again, that's if you really are struggling at DFS, that's more of if you have a macro level problem, which contest to enter, research techniques, some of my favorite research, some of my favorite sites and tools to use on different, when it comes to DFS. What else? I had a whole list of things we talk about, and now I can't find it. But obviously, we would talk about figuring out what are your strengths. As in life, guys, you need to figure out what are your strengths as a DFS player. It's no different than life. And then also in the, because a half hour goes so fast. So in the hour, we actually do, can do, take some of your cash game or GPP lineups and really go through them in depth to see. And I basically give you feedback on each play and what I think of it. So if that intrigues you, let me know. And we'll see if we can get you scheduled. Also, I'm hoping very soon, speaking of the app draft a few minutes ago, to have a new bracket challenge up in the next day or so. Just was getting done emailing with the lovely people at Draft. So when we do have a new bracket up, and the bracket's called the Judges Chambers, of course, I will let you guys know. Speaking of chambers, you may have noticed that the judge unleashed the power rankings, the initial DraftKings power rankings on, I think it was early Saturday morning or late Friday, look at it. And then I also updated the FanDuel power rankings. So let's give a shout out to the people who were at the top of the power rankings. So for FanDuel, Jeremier held on to the number one spot, like the third or fourth week, just on fire. He's got a pretty solid lock on that one spot right now. Now there's a pretty fierce battle for 2, 3, and 4 between Nesto, I Am Legend, SCAS, Fucking Fantasy, and Slappy DFS made a late push in the last week at Slappy 1975. The biggest jump of the last few weeks, MG Fresh, who was number 10 in the power rankings a few weeks ago, jumped up to number 5. And he now has something like 12 or 13 caches, which is third or fourth most, which is pretty impressive. A charismatic enigma jumped into the power rankings for the first time this year, so congrats to him. So again, if you want to look at the power rankings, go to the DG courtroom DFS.com and just click on power rankings. Very easy. In terms of DraftKings, and remember, guys, the DraftKings one, there's not much of a sample yet because we only started playing on DraftKings for a few weeks now. So it's going to, I would say, probably the first few weeks of the power rankings, there could be some big moves where the sample size for FanDuel is obviously much larger. But WhatUpDoe88 is currently ranked number 1. MG Fresh, apparently he's good on both sites. Total Site Domination is currently ranked number 2. Ruckin is ranked number 3. Moss, JD, at J_D_Moss is number 4. And Team Ninja Boot is number 5. And also, remember, if you want proper shoutouts, let me know what your Twitter handle is. I try to keep track the best I can, but not always feasible because we've had over 700 people playing in the FanDuel and DraftKings chambers now. And the judge is only one man. I'm a little human being. It's very hard for me to keep track of everything while I have all the real-time job. And then DFS is a full-time job. I got the bailiff. I have a child, as in the bailiff, not a bailiff and a child. But so I'm busy. You guys know I'm busy. So I do my best. But the easiest thing to do if you want a proper shout-out, and if you, first of all, because some of the people in the power rankings, I don't have Twitter handles by them. And so if you see that you're in the power rankings and there's no Twitter handle, let me know what it is. Gosh darn it. All right. Speaking of chambers for Sunday night, we had only 2 in FanDuel because I was super busy on Sunday. Didn't get to play a ton, which sucks. I basically, of course, had a monster night on cash almost every lineup I played. That tends to happen some nights when you don't have the time, don't do proper research, and then you get a winning night for no reason, just because DFS is bizarre sometimes. But only had two FanDuel contests, and we had one regular one on DK with 50 slots. So congrats to Josh Furler, longtime listener to the pod, friend of the judge, who took his second win of the year. I think it was his fourth cash. He's actually a new player at DFS this year, which, competing in chambers and, he's had some ups and downs like all of us have in DFS. But, he's for a new player, he's done pretty well. So congrats to him. The judge was able to slam the door shut on the other one. But let me give a shout out to Vinsanity07. He finished second in the other chambers. And also give a shout out to Moneymaking DFS, at Moneymaking DFS. That's a Twitter handle. His first cash of the year. I think it's only his second or third time he's entered the chambers. But that's his first cash. And remember, guys, if you've been listening to the podcast now for a while and you've been too scared to enter the chambers, you are ready. You have been listening to the judge. I feel it in you. You are prepared to do battle with the best DFS players in the land. So put yourself in chambers. And if you tweet, if you try to reach me somehow, I get lots of emails saying people want in chambers. I get lots of tweets. I will find a way to get you in. If not on that particular night, definitely the next night. So even though on FanDuel we really only have you know, if we run three a night, we get about 60 slots on DraftKings, 50 slots. The judge will try to hook you up if you give me some notice and get you in. And it's time to test yourself against the best if you haven't played yet Chambers this year. All right, Dream Killers for Sunday. How about Rick Carlisle again? Can he just be a permanent dream killer for us? Who does? If you weren't paying attention, what did the wily Nassau scientist do on? First of all, he shouldn't be an NBA coach, right? Can we agree that he should get a different job? I volunteer Nassau scientist. You know, I don't know what you guys have suggestions for, but I mean, is there anything smarter than being like a Nassau than working for NASA? I don't know, but to me, it's either that or like, you know, some molecular. A biological engineer or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, he's too smart to be an NBA coach, as evidenced by Sunday night. When what did he do? Dallas, you know, has a D League team like most NBA teams do, and there was a player named Yogi. I call him hashtag Yoda. I was going to do hashtag Yoga, but you know, I like hashtag Yoda better. And so, what does Rick Carlisle do after calling up Yogi in his first game for Dallas? He starts him. Over the weekend, you may have noticed that Finney, Linney, Crinney, Shinny Smith played like 40 minutes. I think it was Friday or Saturday night and had a really good night. Now Dallas is playing the Spurs. He benches Finney, Shinny, Crinney, Smith, and he starts hashtag Yoda. And then he plays Yoda 36 minutes against the Spurs. By the way, this guy actually was pretty good. He played well. He had like over 25 FanDuel points. So I was somewhat impressed. And Dallas beat the Spurs. It was pretty crazy. But I mean, Rick Carlisle. What a troll! And not to mention our favorite player. And I honestly do think Dallas is one of their best, most athletic, talented players. Powell, guess how many minutes Powell got on Sunday? 10 minutes. But he was in. I think he was in the last play of regulation. Rick Carlisle actually did a smart move and had him defending Kawhi on one of the last plays. I think when San Antonio could have tied the game up. But it's amazing. He gives Powell 10 minutes. He gives Yoda, Yogi, whatever this guy's name, 36 minutes in his first game. Rick Carlisle, I hate you. Anyway, James Harden, absolute dream killer. It seems like so much happens between the last time I've done a show. I don't remember when Harden had like 90 FanDuel points. I don't think I got to talk about it on the show because I think that was like Friday night. And then on Sunday, so on, you know, 90 FanDuel points. Amazing, right? And then on Sunday, I think he had like 30. He was miserable. He's always kind of a tin man anyway. I can't stand watching him play. To me, he's super boring. Even when he plays well, he just dribbles. He jumps into people, gets ridiculous fouls that are not fouls. He gets the refs give him the benefit of the doubt on every single play. It's disgusting. But he was dreadful on Sunday. He shot 3 for 17 from the floor. He had 8 turnovers. Just horrendous. They got blown out by the Pacers. If you played him on Sunday, you probably weren't too happy. I should say Sunday was a monster scoring night. I saw people take down GPPs with over 400. I'm pretty sure, I think in Chambers, Josh, who won, had like a score of, I think, in the 350s. And I think my score winning the other Chambers was like in the high 340s or almost 352. So it was a really high scoring night. So, but Harden with 30 FanDuel points at his price of over 12K, absolute dream kill, absolute soul crusher. Speaking of soul crusher, there was a guy in the slate I got about 100 tweets about. I never thought I'd get so many tweets about CJ Miles. But the judge, since I want to bring joy to everyone, what I want you to do, like, I don't know if you should do this at work, although I guess you can. There's nothing like that bad about it. Just Google CJ Miles, and that's it, and see what comes up. Maybe you can be pleasantly surprised because CJ Miles was the absolute soul crusher. But if you Google it, it may be a dream lover. And then you can tweet at me on whenever you listen to this why it's a dream lover. Although I hope if there's women listeners, they don't get mad at me for this. And if this was wrong for the judge to do, let me know. And you can scold me. Although I don't think anything wrong with it, though. So CJ Miles, absolute soul crusher. He played 20 minutes. But the fact that it was a blowout kind of hurts. Also, I mean, even though CJ Miles is a starter, sometimes he doesn't get starter minutes. I mean, they still have Monte Ellis, who is dreadful, but still gets some minutes. Glenn Robinson still plays a decent amount of minutes. So he was a popular play. He's always been kind of a one-trick pony. If he's making a shot, he can be a good play. He was super high owned on this slate. He had like one, I think it was 1.5 FanDuel points. So I get it if you played him, especially on a night when scores were, you could easily get a score of like, if you had a score of 300, that was not even a good score. I mean, to cash, you needed like 320 in a lot of tournaments. So CJ Miles, absolute soul crusher. Draymond Green, he's sucked for a few times in the last week. Luckily, I didn't play him too much on this slate. With Steph Curry being out, I thought he may go off, and I was a little nervous about fading him. He did not go off. He probably was drunk. Who knows? Trevor Ariza. I mean, he was a consistency monster for a few weeks, and now he's gone to being super boom or bust. That whole Houston team, except Ryan Anderson, really sucked on Sunday night. So not a good day if you played Ariza. Porzingis. Man, the Knicks-Hawks games, the Knicks-Hawks game, which was a dream lover and went to four overtimes, 142-139, was phenomenal. Porzingis fouled out, of course. A lot of guys fouled out in four overtimes, but Porzingis couldn't even hit value at like 6.5K. His price is going to be like 6K probably before the next Knicks game. Just super disappointing. It's tough to figure out exactly if he's still banged up, what's going on. Plus, Rose is out. So you figure the shots would have been there. Yes, Melo took a ton of shots, which is expected. But how can he not be hitting value when he's like 6K? He's so super talented. It's just been a little confusing lately. I'm praying that the Knicks trade Carmelo, but very soon. So then Porzingis can get all the usage in the world. And his price will probably skyrocket pretty close to what Jokic did. I don't know if it'll be as high as Jokic. But I just want to see how good he can be. Getting a lot of shots. I mean, his usage rate should be around 28%, not in the low 20s like it is now. So dream killer for Porzingis again. Dame Judy Dench, God forbid he could take advantage of Steph Curry being out and the Golden State-Portland game being competitive. His price jumped up to about 8.8K, but I still thought he'd be fine against Golden State in a high-paced game. It was on NBA TV. He sucked. I couldn't believe how much down the stretch in the fourth quarter he sat in the corner like a scared little child. I mean, it was like Towns against P.J. Tucker all over again. He had Klay Thompson guarding him, and Klay Thompson's a fine defender, but his numbers, his defensive stats are not elite this year. And plus, watching him play, he hasn't been the same defender. Plus, he had more of the offensive load with Steph out. So, I mean, Judy Dench taking such a backseat in the fourth quarter to McCollum, and then McCollum's one thing, fine. McCollum had a nice game, was hot. If you want to run some plays through McCollum, that's totally fine. But also Evan Turner down the stretch, but by the way, I like Evan Turner. But come on, like down the stretch, Dame Judy, every play sitting in the corner, it was pretty remarkable to see. I mean, every play was either McCollum or Evan Turner. And then Evan Turner took the three to try to tie the game at the end. Just extremely disappointing. I don't know what the hell goes on. And that's why, another reason why he's kind of a tin man. Some games he's so disinterested, so disengaged, and looks like he could care less about being on the basketball court. Super frustrated because we all know he is obviously crazy talented. Dream killer. Sean Livingston. Yeah, if you fell for this trap, if you haven't seen Golden State play too much, or you're new to DFS, I did it in one lineup because I had to get Dame Judy Dench in to do that. That was playing a guy like Livingston. But going into it, you knew he wasn't going to get a ton of minutes, even with the start. So I wasn't a big fan of that play. And he came up with, like 11 FanDuel points. So, sometimes coaches will start guys just because they prefer to keep the better player with the second unit. We've talked about this on the show before. Like, Spoelstra loves doing this. He has to keep the second unit intact. He was the guy who I think originally started it, like 3-4 years ago. At least it's the first time I heard a coach doing it. But now almost every coach in the NBA, sometimes they'll have, and we saw it again today with the Bulls. The Bulls, when Taj Gibson went out, who'd they start? Bobby Portis. Quite honestly, the better player is Christian Felicio. I hate saying that name, especially after 4 a.m. But they should have, Christian's a much better player. So even though Bobby Portis got the start, that really wasn't name only. So if you played Portis, you probably were a little disappointed, but really, even just starter in name only. And there's a lot of coaches that do that. So that's one thing to be successful in DFS. You do have to know just kind of, you know, where guys stand in the coach's pecking order. Aaron Gordon had one of his bad nights, dream killer for sure. And I'm putting Towns down again as a dream killer because over the weekend I watched Gallinari destroy PJ Tucker. Everyone can destroy PJ Tucker except Karl-Anthony Towns now. So dream killer again for Karl-Anthony Towns for killing me last week when I should have made thousands. All right. How about some dream lovers? Let's get some positivity going to the show. We got to start the week with some positivity. How about the Knicks? How about the Knicks and Hawks game in general? If you're watching basketball, this is an awesome game to watch. Four overtimes, 142 to 139. Paul Millsap went bananas, whatever you want to say. Carmelo was really good before he fouled out. I honestly think they should trade Carmelo immediately. Like, let him leave on a high note. It would have been better if the Knicks won that game, but just trade him like right now. The Wizards, as a team in general, dream lovers. Man, I don't know if you've been watching Washington play lately, but they are really good right now. They are clicking on all cylinders, even though I hate saying cliches because that actually contributes nothing. Like, what does that even mean, clicking on all cylinders? But if you just watch them play, you can just sense the confidence coming from like almost every player in that starting lineup. I mean, Wall, Beal, Otto Porter, Markieff, and even a little bit Gortat, and then Kelly Oubre off the bench. They're just really locked in right now, and they're a super fun group to watch play. I'd recommend you at least one time this week trying to catch a Wizards game. Like if you watch them play a month or so ago to where they are now, it's night and day, completely different team. Rondo, we all thought Rondo's going to get traded, going to get waived. Now, you know, coming out of this Jimmy Butler Wade, you know, talking about how the Bulls young guys don't care and they don't play with any heart and they're all tin men. Rondo with his stupid Instagram post. He's like, everyone in Chicago thought Rondo was in the right and Butler and Wade were in the wrong and everyone in Chicago loves Rondo, which is absurd because he's a menace. But he's also playing good on the court now and the young guys love him and it's somewhat translating to when they play together. Rondo basically runs the Bulls' second unit right now with all the young guys, you know, with like McDermott and Christian and – well, the zip line, whoever else they have out there. So Rondo played really well on Sunday. I actually was surprised he got benched. Well, not benched, but he could have finished the game. They took him out the last like 6 minutes, but he had like over 30 FanDuel points, and he was like 3.9K on FanDuel. So he's playing really well, and if he's going to be like between 4 and 5K, he's going to be in play now because even coming off the bench, he's going to get like 24 minutes these days, and he can give you 25, 35 FanDuel points. Both Currys were dream lovers. Steph was a dream lover because he sat out, which made everyone in the Golden State game playable for the most part, and guys from Portland playable because we're actually going to have a close Golden State game. Otherwise, they're only tournament plays only, any game featuring the Warriors, because the Warriors have four All-Stars, and it's absurd and ridiculous and shouldn't be allowed, but whatever. So Steph was out, and that made – it's fun to actually think about. You could actually roster Golden State guys in cash games. What a novel concept. Also, Seth Curry. He sucked when he was chalk a couple days ago. Tonight against the Spurs, when he wasn't as highly owned, although he still was pretty higher owned than I thought he'd be, quite honestly, he actually went nuts. He had over 43 FanDuel points. I think he had more FanDuel points than Klay Thompson, who had like 41. So Seth Curry was a must to be in everyone's lineup if you wanted to win some serious money. Reason why it was such a high scoring night. If you have someone who's 4K give you 10 times value at 40 FanDuel points, that's how you get a high scoring night. And then you have also guys like Ersan Ilyasova giving you monster nights, you know, and Covington, guys in the 5K range giving you 50 FanDuel point nights. You know, TJ McConnell went nuts. I mean, you know, when they have things like that, that's how you start getting Paul George. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. That's why it was such a high scoring night. Paul George, like I said, Indiana has looked better lately. So has Paul George. If you look at his stats in the last week, he's been spectacular. So it's no, even though Jeff Teague had a good night as well on Sunday, it is no longer the Indiana Teagues, my friend. It is back to being Paul George's team, and expect his price to be rising rapidly. It already came up a little bit on Sunday. He'll be 9K pretty soon. He's playing really well. Jimmy Butler was really good. TJ McConnell, I mean, he looks like he's like 12 years old. This little white dude put so much gel in his hair. He's slow as a I mean, I would not as slow as a turtle, but give me another slow animal. I don't know. Think of it, a snail. I mean, I don't understand how he does well, but he's good. Like, he just keeps coming through. And I've seen him attack some pretty good defenders. I saw him attack Patrick Beverley. I don't even remember off the top of my head now who the hell Washington was, or who Philly was even. Oh, yeah, Philly was playing the Bulls. Not the best defensive team at point guard, but like, he was actually finishing around the rim. And he's really good at setting up that Philly offense. So, I mean, even I thought at his price, he's not going to be in play anymore. But I actually did play him a little bit on Sunday because he's been so good lately. And he had over 30 fandom points again. Dream lover, TJ McConnell. Who knew? Lord Covington, not a peasant Covington on Sunday. He was brilliant. He had one of his nights where he's making shots. And if he's making shots, he has 50 fandom point upside. Ersan Ilyasova, monster night for him as well. I think he was in the mid-40s in fandom points. He's always a fantasy point per minute monster. It's all about minutes with him. And with Embiid out, he's going to get a few more minutes and is safe for all formats whenever Embiid's out. Anthony Davis was excellent. Whenever he plays, one of the most talented guys in the league. The problem is, can he play? I mean, how many games in a row did he go to the locker room with some fake injury? Four? It was at least three games, right? So he finally made it through an entire game, and he put up 64 FanDuel points. So unfortunately, I did not have any exposure. Hopefully you did, and you made some money with him on Sunday. Vucevic, he had over 50 FanDuel points. To me, that kind of came out of nowhere. Plus, he did it against my boy, Valanciunas, who's a pretty solid defender, although I've seen him get abused a couple times in the last week by Brooke Lopez and now by Vucevic. So I was a little surprised by that, but Vucevic, monster night for him. Robin Lopez was really good. When he gets minutes, he always does well for the Bulls. The problem is defensively, it's hard to give him minutes because he's so slow, and you cannot play him and Taj Gibson together. I think Taj Gibson being out helps him be on the court because when him and Taj are in the game together, both those guys cannot move their feet. They're so unathletic. It's just painful. The Bulls' interior gets destroyed. And it still got destroyed, quite honestly, on Sunday. That's why you saw guys like Ersan Ilyasova go nuts against the Bulls. Kyle Lowry, if you played him, it was a nice contrarian move because DeMar DeRozan came back. Therefore, everyone did not want to play Lowry. I faded him for the most part. He ended up with like 50 fando points. So it was a nice contrarian play. I think the winner of our chambers, Josh Furler, played Lowry. So dream lover. And then Ryan Anderson, also a guy super low owned, coming off some bad games, but he's too cheap. He was a perfect in a good spot. He was a really good GPP play and came through with like 37 FanDuel points. Man, I feel like that was a lot of dream killers and dream lovers, don't you? All right. Injury news for Monday. Is Caspi even alive? How long can you tell him to be out with a calf injury? Caspi's going to be out again with the calf injury for Sacramento. I would like to see him play without Rudy Gay. He is talented, even though he's had so many chances over the last couple of years to play. Hopefully he does come back at some point. Joel Embiid, questionable with the knee injury. Obviously, this is the 6 p.m. game on Monday. If he's out, give me load up on a Nerlens Noel, although I'm curious to see what his price is on FanDuel. I don't know yet, so I'll basically find out when you guys do. When I read it during the show, but Nerlens has been great on DraftKings. They skyrocketed his price up in like the 6K range, which is appropriate. FanDuel is way too reactive. It did not yet. So he was still like over like 4.5K on Sunday night. And he was basically a cash game must. And for tournaments, he was a really good play too. He was almost, I had him in every lineup that I made on Sunday on FanDuel because at that price. For Miami, Josh Richardson is going to be out. Josh McRoberts is going to be out again. So Dragic and Deion Waiters, excellent plays as always. Hollis Jefferson is questionable with a sore right ankle. Oh, Tyler Johnson. I don't know if I mentioned him or not. Yeah, Tyler, Josh Richardson, and Josh McRoberts are going to be. Tyler Johnson is questionable. So if he is out, then obviously Dragic and Deion Waiters are excellent plays. If he plays, Dragic and Deion take a little bit of a hit, but they're still okay. Al Horford's dealing with his groin injury. If he's out, you can play Russian roulette with the Boston Bigs. Evan Fournier's got he's been out forever with this foot injury, questionable. Darren Williams out with that great toe sprain. Maybe we get some more Yoda. Hashtag Yoda on Monday. Kevin Love. He's slowly becoming a tin man. He's went to the locker room with back spasms now at least 3 or 4 times this year and been just a brutal dream killer. So thank God he's going to be out for a little bit. They should just rest him. Let him get healthy. So Kyrie Irving gets a monster usage bump with Love out, and LeBron gets a little bit of a spike as well. Both those guys might be locks in cash games, and obviously excellent tournament plays as well. And then Jamichael Green is questionable with a knee injury. Zebo's been balling out of his mind for Memphis, so Zebo will probably be an excellent play if Jamichael Green's out, although Zebo's getting expensive. All right, quick trip to Vegas. We only have 2 overrunners that are up on the board, I guess because of the injury news. So we got Brooklyn, Miami. These teams played about a week ago. It was a big disappointment, if you ask me. Miami's won, like 6 straight games or something like that. Has it been 7? They've won a lot. Maybe it's 7 now. It's a 217 over-under. Miami's favored by 9. Brooklyn somehow tends to keep every game close. And Miami, even though they won a lot of games in a row, they're not very good. That's a good over-under. Then you got Memphis, Phoenix. Memphis playing up in pace. 209 over-under. For Memphis, that's pretty good. So other than that, Cleveland, Dallas, no over-under. I guess that would be it's probably going to be around like a 206, 205, something like that. Detroit, Boston, probably a similar over-under there. Orlando, Minnesota. Yeah, I mean, there's really no monster game with an over-under with like a 225, 230 over-under on Monday. It's going to be all games around the 206, 215 for the most part. So teams playing up in pace, not a lot. There's Miami and Memphis are really the only 2 teams that I would look to target if you want teams that are a little underpriced based on number of possessions that they'll get. All right, let's just hop right into the plays. Hop into the plays. All right, point guard. Isaiah Thomas. Point guard is – so some of the positions on this slate stink. Shooting guard is horrendous, and power forward's pretty nasty. So just keep that in mind as I go through the plays. Point guard, on the other hand, though, is not. Point guard's loaded. Point guard's almost always loaded. But sometimes on a small slate, it's not as great. Not the case on Monday. There's no Westbrook, but you still got lots of good players here. Isaiah's totally fine at 10K. You can attack Detroit at the point guard position. Reggie Jackson is an okay defender. Not elite by any stretch of the imagination. And Isaiah is just – he's hit over 20 actual points, 25, 30 straight games now? Something. It's just some crazy, ridiculous stat. And dude has a 35% usage rate. And since Avery Bradley's been out, he's on a different level right now. He's safe for all formats. Now, do I love the price on him? Not really, because he still is kind of a one-trick pony. So you are relying on him to give you like 30 actual points. But he's been doing that for the most part these days. So I don't mind it. Now, I personally might go a different way, especially because a guy like Kevin Love is out. So I can get Kyrie Irving for like 1.4K cheaper. But Isaiah's fine for all formats. Eric Bledsoe, 9.6K. It's pretty interesting because you look at Isaiah, Eric Bledsoe, and Kyrie are the top 3 point guards. Not great matchups in terms of pace. So Isaiah gets Detroit, which plays pretty slow. Bledsoe gets Memphis, which is stuck in mud. And then Kyrie gets Dallas, which also is a turtle emoji game. So that's interesting on one hand. You know, so on one hand, you say, I'm going to fade all the top guys and go with someone like a Dragic who's playing way up in pace. You could do that. Or a Mike Conley who's playing up way up in pace against Phoenix. But, you know what? On this slate, I still think all those guys are fine. And going back to Bledsoe, remember, this is the starting lineup for Phoenix these days. Bledsoe, Booker, and I'll say T.J. Warren, although P.J. Tucker gets a lot of minutes too. So remember, if you have a lineup of Bledsoe, Booker, Tucker, Chris, and Tyson Chandler, you have 2 guys who will shoot every possession. So Bledsoe, the usage rate keeps going up. It's now 30.3%. So he's fine. Memphis, and also Mike Conley, when you look – I did this before the show. I looked at his advanced statistics defensively. He's just not that good defensively this year. I'm not really sure what the reason for that is, but we've seen teams be able to attack Utah and Memphis at the backcourt position. So Bledsoe's fine. I mean, would I prefer Kyrie to him in cash games? Yes. Would I prefer Dragic probably a little bit at over to almost $2,000 cheaper? Probably. And even Isaiah, would I feel a little bit better? I don't know. Isaiah and Bledsoe to me are pretty close. I guess I would choose Isaiah slightly because the is still, you know, 5 percentage points higher. But I think Bledsoe is in a really good spot for tournaments. I will definitely have exposure. He's safe. If you want to use him in cash, I don't think it's a horrible play. He's been that good lately. He's been locked in, and he's basically become matchup proof at this point. I mean, he's locked into tons of usage, tons of minutes, and when you have three guys on the court at all times who cannot do anything offensively, it makes Bledsoe a good play almost every night now. Kyrie Irving's 8.6K. Without Love, he gets almost an 8% usage bump or something crazy. So even though it's against Dallas on a back-to-back, you know, he's still super young. He's fine. All formats, I'm fine with Kyrie. Dragic, 7.8K. Especially if Tyler Johnson is out, you can almost lock and load him in cash, and he's fine for any formats. He's been super consistent lately. The one game that he let me down was against Golden State last week. But when he did play Brooklyn last week, he was good, 42 Fando points. Remember, he's not cheap now, so he is almost 8K, and he does have to give us 40 to hit value. But he's basically done that, or he's right around that mark the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. So I would, you know, Brooklyn has no one. They're just bad at every position. It's going to be Spencer Dinwiddie guarding him, Whitehead, Blackhead, Yellowhead. Dragic is fine, all formats. Attack Brooklyn, attack Brooklyn. If you're ever in doubt what to do on any slate, just attack Brooklyn. Mike Conley, 7.5K. At Phoenix, he's been okay lately, just not great. The upside hasn't been there, partly because they've been going down low a lot because guys like Zebo and Marc Gasol have been going nuts. So, like, the assists for Conley have been down. Like, he had 3 assists last game. Granted, that was against Utah. But he's still fine. I mean, you know, now you get him playing way up in pace against Phoenix. And Bledsoe's not even though Bledsoe, you know, when he was on the Clippers, he was known as being like a really good lockdown defender. You know, he's just not these days, probably because he's doing so much on the offensive end. And I think Conley's fine. He's a nice contrarian play. He's a pivot. If you want it, everyone's going to be on Dragic. So you just pivot off and play some Mike Conley in a tournament, you know, and hope he goes nuts. He could. Ricky Rubio, 6.6K. Orlando's not good defensively at point guard. That was why Elfrid Payton got benched originally for DJ Augustine. Rubio's fine. You know, I'm not super excited about it on this slate. I definitely prefer guys like Dragic, Irving, Bledsoe Thomas, and even Mike Conley a little bit, I guess, playing up in pace. So Rubio is going to be overlooked. He's going to be low owned. And I do like teaming him up with Karl Anthony Towns in some lineups. He's fine. I don't mind it. A little expensive, though. Also 6.6K at Boston. The one thing that I have been noticing lately is Isaiah Thomas, as good as he's been offensively, he's been almost equally bad defensively. And that's why some of these Boston games, when you look at the end of the result, the scoring tends to be pretty high, and you could bet the over on the over under of some of these games. So I think Reggie's in a good spot here. I think I would prefer actually Reggie to Rubio on this slate. Also, Reggie, remember, he has a monster usage rate, 31.2%. He's not scared about shooting the ball, so he could get in a little duel here with Isaiah Thomas. It's also an intriguing game stack, this Detroit Boston game, because so I think this game will actually could be a faster pace than expected, and Detroit is definitely playing up in pace either way. Elfrid Payton, 6.6K. Tournament play only. He's a Magic Mountain guy, so he's a roller coaster. He could give you 15 Fando points. He could give you 50. Against Toronto, he was pretty good on Sunday night. I think he ended up with like 30 Fando points or 33. He had 10 assists, which was pretty impressive. He can do that, man. He can give you a triple-double. That's why he's another. You know what? I'm making the call. I am adding him to the list of tin men. He's a tin man. Some games he's just disengaged, disinterested, and he's heartless. He has no heart. I don't know if it's effort related. I mean, what else could it be? He's not hurt, as far as I know. So I'm not sure why some games he just doesn't bring it. But he's to me, he's always a nice tournament play and always low owned. TJ McConnell. So I mentioned him at the top of the show. He's good. I don't know why this little slow guy is good, but he is. He's methodical. I mean, he runs the offense really well. He had 12 assists on Sunday. The four or less five games, he's a double-digit assist. And as you guys know, assists give you 1.5 FanDuel or DraftKings points. So that's the reason why he's been able to give you over 30 FanDuel points lately. So do I love the play? Not really against a slow-paced Sacramento game. Also, Coach Brown for Philly after the game was talking about playing a lot of the bench guys because the starters got big minutes on Sunday night. I think McConnell played 37 minutes. So, you know, maybe Rodriguez gets some run here on Monday. McConnell's fine, though. The problem to me is point guard is not the position to save for me. I will be spending up for the most part at point guard. So, you know, I'm not sure how much McConnell I'm going to end up having in my lineup. Then you got Darren Collison, Dinwiddie, Dindoodle, Whitehead. You know, but as I just mentioned, I don't think it's the day to spend down at point guard. Because you'll see, there's other spots like shooting guard where you can spend down, small forward or power forward you can spend down. Not point guard. Shooting guard. Devin Booker. That's right, I'm leading off with Devin Booker. 6.8K. We have no Harden, no DeMar, no Batum. It starts with Booker. So 6.8K, it's pricey. His usage rate has gone up because, like I'm telling you, Phoenix basically plays two guys and then three bums, at least on the offensive end. So Booker's getting tons of shots. 7K is just so freaking pricey for him. He's been good and barely giving you 30 FanDuel points because like Isaiah Thomas at least can get you assists and can do other things. Booker does not. Like he will stumble and bumble maybe into two rebounds and two assists. So it's pricey against Memphis. I don't love this play. I still think it's fine. I mean, he shoots so much now where he's probably going to end up around 20 to 30 FanDuel points. If he goes nuts, maybe he can win you a GPP. And shooting guard is a horrible position on this slate. But to me, there's guys that are really cheap who I think are much better plays. Zach LaVine, tournaments only. I'm king of the Magic Mountain. He may be first in line. 35 and 36 the last two games, so that's trending upwards. Go figure, Rubio has been bad those games. So the minutes are still there for him. He's fine as a tournament guy, though, only for me. Deion Waiters, 6.3K. He's reached the point to me where now he's too expensive, but now he gets Brooklyn. So last week against Brooklyn, he put up 40 FanDuel points. I'll use him a little bit just because it's Brooklyn, but I don't want to play a whole lot of him. He's another guy. He does one thing, and that's shoot, and that's it. Nothing else. So is he going to give you 25, 30 actual points against Brooklyn? Another guy. I don't love the play on this slate. Just because it's Brooklyn, I think it's fine. KCP, 5.4K. Nice little savings. He was out with an injury, so people forgot about him. He came back in Sacramento, put up 34 FanDuel points right away. Then everyone jumped back on the train, played him. He put up seven FanDuel points, and I got some nasty tweets from people about it. So probably not a cash game guy, but he's pretty much locked into solid minutes, and I don't mind the play. Fair price for him. He does have 30 FanDuel point upside. If he's making his shots, he can put up a big number. So, and remember this Detroit Boston game. I think the pace is going to be Detroit playing up in pace. So I don't mind him for tournaments or single entry tournaments either. Wes Matthews, 5.4K versus Cleveland. He was really good on Sunday night. I threw him in some lineups as a pivot off of Seth Curry, and I was very proud of myself. But then I realized, well, Seth Curry is going bananas as well and ended up having more FanDuel points than Wesley Matthews. So didn't work out. Although my one lineup that was a Curry-West Matthews lineup, that lineup did pretty well. But he played well against the Spurs, 33 FanDuel points. He will get over 30 minutes, and he will stumble-bumble into between 20 and 30 FanDuel points. The good news for him is with Deron Williams out, he saw some extra shots because normally – his usage rate is really piss poor, and that's one reason why I think I went like a straight month without using him almost ever, because the usage rate's like 20%. Without Darren Williams, though, and they were playing Yogi, whatever that guy's name is. And by the way, so Yogi, I didn't mention Yogi. He is available. I don't know if he was available on FanDuel for Sunday because no one ever heard of this guy, and he was in the D League, and they called him up, and he played it right away. But Yogi is a point guard on FanDuel. I don't know what he is on DraftKings. I would assume a point guard as well, but I'm not sure. He's 3.5K. So, Rick, I mean, you guys know Rick Carlisle is nuts. He's a crazy man. But he did play 36 minutes, and he had 26 FanDuel points. So, Yogi Ferrell on Monday, you can do it. I'd be a little nervous too in cash games because, remember, Carlisle's nuts. But he did, you know, if he's going to get 30 minutes at the minimum, he's safe for pretty much any format. If any coach but Rick Carlisle, I'd probably use him in cash games. But since Rick Carlisle, I will not use him in cash games. All right, so going back to Wes Matthews is fine. Because the usage rate will go up without Darren Williams. And Yogi is fine, but Yogi's not going to be taking a ton of shots. Then you got Tony Allen. Then you got the two guys that I like, quite honestly. You have Seth Curry. And you have Wayne Ellington, 4.3K against Brooklyn, as long as Tyler Johnson is out. You can just honestly, if you want to lock and load Seth Curry and Wayne Ellington as your two shooting guards for cash games, I'm totally fine with that. Plus, it allows you to save. Then you can pay up at point guard. Also, you can grab LeBron at small forward, and you're going to win money. Just, you know, I don't to me, that's the way I'm leaning right now. And in tournaments, too, quite honestly, you could do that a little bit. Also, a shooting guard. Also, you got guys like Kilpatrick. He's got a nice usage rate for Brooklyn. Shumpert sitting down there. Jaylen Brown is an interesting play for Boston. He is starting in the last two games, 25, 32 FanDuel points, 3.9K, dirt cheap. So I'm telling you, man, there's even Kyle Korver sitting down there. You have some really cheap shooting guard options that I like much better than a Booker, a Deion Waiters, who are now overpriced. LeBron James, small forward, 10.5K without Irving. Even though Ty Lue says he's going to start resting LeBron, when's this going to happen? Because he's averaging 37 minutes, which is insane for LeBron's 14th season in the NBA. What are you guys doing? It just makes zero sense to me. If he comes down with some big injury, how devastating would that be? But it's a back-to-back. But without Kevin Love and small forwards, not great besides LeBron. I'm just going to put him in my cash games, lock and load. And I'll obviously find tournaments as well. Andrew Wiggins, 7.3K. Not a cash game guy for me, tournaments only. He's been, the last four or five games, he's been pretty good. 35 FanDuel points, 29, 45, 37, 30, 38. So that's pretty decent. That's pretty solid consistency. On this slate, small forward's not great. He does have upside, so I don't mind it. Harrison Barnes, 6.6K. It's just a nice, you know, if you don't want to think too much and you want to be nice and boring on Monday, just play LeBron and Harrison Barnes. Two nice, safe guys in cash games. Or you also want to be boring, play Jay Crowder. Play LeBron and Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder, another guy. Jay Crowder's price keeps coming up a little bit, but he's been playing really well lately for the Celtics. He plays tons of minutes. He's shooting the ball really well lately. 35, 37, 42 FanDuel points in the last three games. I mean, man, he's been rock solid for now, almost a couple weeks. He, around the 5K to 6K mark, was always a lock for me in cash games. Now he's 6.3K, so now he's really close to Harrison Barnes in price. I mean, Barnes has a much higher usage rate, so now it gets interesting. Would I prefer Barnes or Crowder? That's a tough one for the judge. One thing also I should note, so Harrison Barnes gets Cleveland. Cleveland, and especially LeBron, they're atrocious defending the small forward position. They give up like a third or fourth most fantasy points. I like Barnes and Crowder on this slate. Oh, man, that's tough. I guess I probably would lean Barnes just because the usage rate is so much higher, although Crowder's been excellent. That's really close. Then you have Lord Covington, 5.6K. I don't love this Philly-Sacramento game. The pace is going to be pretty nasty. But Covington is always an elite tournament play just because he does have monster upside. Marcus Morris, 5.3K. You know, with KCP coming back, he's been bad last two games, 19 and 18, which sucks because before that, when KCP was out, he was great. So I probably won't play too much of him. Aaron Gordon, I think Aaron Gordon's in a good spot. He's 5.2K, and remember, recency bias is a real thing in DFS. People will remember that Aaron Gordon sucked on Sunday, so no one's going to want to play him on Monday. Therefore, it makes a good tournament play. I wouldn't trust him in cash because he's been bad the last, you know, four games or so. He hasn't been that great, but he does have 40, 50 Fando point upside as well. Orlando playing up in pace, so tournaments, I don't mind it. Then you got PJ Tucker, you got LeVert, you got Bogdanovich, TJ Warren, you know, Shabazz Muhammad. I played Shabazz, I think Saturday night. He gave me 30 Fando points against Brooklyn. He's slowly getting more and more minutes. He's been like in the 20s to low 30s last four games. So he's a sneaky ninja play, 3.9K. If you want to use him in some tournaments, I don't mind it. Minnesota's been doing some weird things with lineups lately. One thing is they realize that most of the NBA is going small and they need offense on the court, and Gorgui Dieng sometimes is just a piece of garbage offensively. Even though also Gorgui Dieng's another guy who just some games doesn't look engaged enough. And defensively, if he's not contributing enough to defensively, there's no reason for him to be on the court. So they've been giving Shabazz some more minutes lately. 3.9K is a good price. And then you have Finney, although it looks like hashtag Yoda took his spot in the rotation. Only got 17 minutes on Sunday. Power forward, Kevin Love is out. So I don't know why I just read his name. So power forward, not good, guys. The top play is, in terms of price, is Zach Randolph, which, yeah, that's I'm not lying. It's Zach Randolph, 6.4K. And he may be a lock and load in cash games. I mean, especially if Jermichael Green's out. Memphis playing way up in pace. They're going to him down in the post so much. He's using that big butt to post people down, back them down. He's been shooting the ball really well. 41 and 38 Fando points the last two. He's expensive now, almost a little too expensive for my taste. But I do think it's relatively safe. I think he's got a floor of around 20 to 25 Fando points. So he's fine for any format you want on this slate. James Johnson, deja vu for me because I was all over James Johnson last week when Miami played Brooklyn. And I got him at a really good percentage that night. He was under 10%. And then he came and gave me 13 Fando points. And then what did he do the next two games? 31 and 41 Fando points. And what did I do? I spit at my TV. And I threw my gavel at the TV. Yeah. And the bailiff took a shit in the TV. So, yeah. Great spot for James Johnson. Quite honestly, if you ask me, like, James Johnson or Zach Randolph, I prefer tournaments. I'd say James Johnson, he has more upside. Cash games, it's really close. I think James Johnson is safe for cash as well. Although if you want to go Zeebo, I can't argue with that playing up. I mean, they're both playing way up in pace. So I like them both. You know what? Use both. How about that? If you don't want to think too much for cash games, power forward, just go Zeebo and James Johnson on this slate. I really think that's viable. And it's not that expensive. Then you got Tobias Harris. He's going to be a nice pivot in tournaments because people are going to be saying what I just said. Zach Randolph and James Johnson, same price basically. They're better plays on paper. Tobias Harris has not been great. 19 Fando points. It seems like the last two games, him and Marcus Morris have been like revolting. KCP comes back and they both put up duds. But it's a nice contrarian pivot. And remember, in tournaments, you need to differentiate. And that's an easy way to do it. Everyone's going to play James Johnson. You pivot off of it and you play Tobias Harris. Not because it's the better play, because you're playing lots of lineups and you're playing game theater. You're hoping his ownership is going to be lower and he somehow gets hot and has a better game, which it's possible. Happens every night in DFS. Things like that happen every night in DFS. Gorgui Dieng, same thing. It's a nice pivot. It's a contrarian move. You play Dieng, you hope he ends up getting minutes. He hits some shots. The last three games, he's been okay, 32, 28, and 36 fandom points. So could Gorgui Dieng outscore Zach Randolph? Sure. Is that impossible? No. There's like a 20% chance that happens on this slate. And that's why you play tournaments. Yeah, you roster him, you hope that happens. But in cash games, don't do it. Then you got Dirk. I don't like Dirk on back-to-backs. So Dirk played 28 minutes on Sunday against the Spurs. He was good, 33 fandom points. I don't even know if they'll – quite honestly, I don't even know if they'll play him on a back-to-back. So if he plays, you can do it, although I'm always nervous to play him on back-to-backs. Ersan, 5.7K. Yeah, he's fine. I mean, as long as Embiid's going to be out, Ersan's always a nice play. He had that one stinker against Houston, which made zero sense to me at 6 fando points. I don't know what the hell happened that night. Other than that, he's always going to hover around the 30 fando point mark. And then if he does get extra minutes, he'll give you 40-50. So do I expect it on a back-to-back? Because I swear to God, Coach Brown, in his post-game press conference, must have talked about his bench for Monday about a million times. It made me super nervous. But I still think Ersan is pretty safe on this slate. Serge Ibaka, another nice contrarian move, getting away from Zebo and James Johnson. Ibaka, he does have some upside. He has not been good the last two games. He's kind of been a Magic Mountain guy this year for the most part. But I like him in tournaments on Monday. You can attack Minnesota. You can attack their bigs. You know, Gorgui Dieng and Towns are not that good defensively. And if Minnesota goes small, Ibaka should be able to have his way with them. Then you got Trevor Booker, 4.9K. Wow, Nerlens Noel, the price did not come up. It's only 4.7K, so it went up a tiny bit. If Embiid is out, you know what? I don't think you have to play Nerlens Noel in cash, but he's very, very safe. Nerlens Noel at 4.7K is fine for all formats. You know, if you want to, it's almost $1,700 less than Zach Randolph, 1.3 less than James Johnson. So we only got 25 minutes on Sunday. So I think he could still give you around, he'll probably play 25 minutes or so again on Monday. And he's been a fantasy point per minute monster lately. Sacramento bigs are atrocious as well. So yeah, fine for all formats. And quite honestly, at that price, he's going to allow me to get a guy like a Cousins. You know, I mean, if I punt shooting guard and then I have Nerlens Noel as one of my cash game power forwards, I can get LeBron, Cousins, and probably a guy like Kyrie Irving. So that may be I may be going Nerlens Noel in cash games as well. John Lure, 4.4K. That I can never get this guy right. He's him. I swear, him and Frank Kaminsky, they've cursed me all freaking year. Every time I play them, they put up duds. I played him over the weekend. He gave me 10 fando points. He's going to get 24 minutes. Normally, he ends up in the 20s, and that's all I needed on Saturday. And then he gave me 10. I hate his fando picture because he looks like Wolverine, except not as handsome as Wolverine. But whatever. If you want to play him, go ahead. He should be okay. Then you got the Boston roulette. Amir Johnson, Jarebko. You know, it's no one knows what those guys are going to do. And if they do know, they're freaking lying to you because no one knows. I mean, like the best thing I can say about Jarebko, because I watched the entire last couple Celtics games, Jarebko is more involved in the offense than I thought, and he's super active. The best thing I can say about Amir Johnson is he didn't fall asleep on the court because he looks super sleepy. And that's my analysis. I don't want to do it. I mean, the reason why you play a guy like that is simply to roster so you can roster Cousins, LeBron, get all the stud point guards. But on this slate, I don't love those guys, especially when you have Nerlens Noel sitting right there. Center, DeMarcus Cousins. So him and Towns are both around the 11K price point. They both are in really good spots. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns gets Vucevic for defense. Vucevic might be the worst defender in the NBA, especially at the center position. So I love Towns. And then Cousins is going to get Philly without Embiid. Nerlens Noel is a decent defender, but he's not big enough in terms of width to deal with Cousins at all. So yeah, it's tough. Cousins also has been playing so well lately. I mean, Towns has been good, but Cousins has been elite lately. I think they're both great plays. Man, that is so hard. If I you know, quite honestly, if I had to choose one, I think I may prefer Towns just because Vucevic defense is that bad. It's so bad. Everyone destroys him. But going up against, choosing, especially when they're like the same price, is tough. And also the early projections that I've looked at from various sites and even my own algorithm that I have, it does have Cousins slightly higher. So even though I'm saying Towns right now, Cousins probably is a little bit safer just because it is Cousins. But I do love Towns as well. The one issue that I'll say is that's pricey, man. Towns at 11K, yeah. Both those guys are super expensive, but obviously both fine plays. Then this is the other problem. You have Marc Gasol, and because Marc Gasol has been so great lately, now they're playing up in pace. His price is skyrocketing up to 9K. That's freaking expensive. I think it's fine, and I think you can do it because we can punt shooting guard. We can get Nerlens Noel at power forward. So, he's 2,000 less than Cousins and Towns. And is there a possibility that Gasol can get me close to what those guys can do, fantasy point production? Yeah, I mean, I think against Phoenix, Gasol's got to give me 40, right? So I would think he'd get around 45 Vando points in that matchup. So I think if you can't afford Cousins or Towns in cash games and you want to go Marc Gasol, it's fine. In tournaments, he's going to be he's an interesting pivot. I mean, that 9K price range is a weird spot. A lot of guys don't like to roster people in the 8 to 9K price range. If you typically just look at ownership percentages. Then you got Whiteside, 8.9K. Tournaments only. If you use him in cash, I will personally come to your house with my gavel and beat you over the head with it. He's been atrocious. Not fully healthy. Played Brooklyn last week, 21 minutes, only 11 Fando points. You play him in, if you have multiple lineups, you play him in one because it's Brooklyn and he does have 50 Fando point upside, but you can't trust it at all. Drummond, 8K. He should have his way against Derebko and Amir Johnson and Kelly Olynyk. He's been pretty good lately against Miami at 52 Fando points. It's a nice contrarian move on this slate. When you got guys, and you can attack Boston bigs, even if Al Horford was in there, you could still attack them. So everyone's going to be using Cousins and Towns and Gasol. Those are the three really good plays. You can save down, you can spend down and get Drummond. And if he stays awake on the court and doesn't pull a Tin Man move, which is it's capable because he's Andre Drummond and he's sleepy. He wants to hibernate all winter. Could Drummond end up with more Fando points? Could Drummond be the highest scoring center of the night? Yeah, he could against Boston. So I think he's in an elite tournament spot. Would I trust him in cash games? Man, he's cost me so much money this year that I cannot. But if you did, just because of the slate and the price and the matchup, you do it. But I will not be. Brooke Lopez, 7.5K. I just like other guys better. You can attack Miami at the center spot. Whiteside's not a good defender, and he's banged up. Brooke Lopez has given close to 40 Vando points the last two games, but for me, he's a tournament guy only. Vucevic coming off a 50 fantasy point monster. I'm not sure who's going to defend him for Minnesota. Probably Gorgui Dieng, because Towns is not a good defender at all. So maybe maybe Dieng does get more minutes going back to the power forward spot to make Dieng a better play. I don't like Vucevic as much because of recency bias. He's going to be high owned, so he's fine. The price is very reasonable though, so you can use him. Tyson Chandler, 6.1K. I'm never a fan of his game. Now he gets Marc Gasol. I think there's better centers on this slate, and he's too expensive. Tristan Thompson, another guy I can't get right. He sucks. He's so bad in real life. He's so boring. The most boring player in the NBA. He had 50 Fando points on Sunday. I mean, I use him in one lineup just because I was using all the bum value centers with the same lineup and then rotating the centers. you know, it was to him giving him having 50 fandom points, you know, with the world or our country is not, you know, go figure. But I was going to say that it's like the world should be, the world could almost end. If you were told me Tristan Thompson is going to get 50 fandom points on Sunday, I would say that's not feasible. But he did. He had 4 blocks and 4 steals. And he also had 19 actual points and 12 rebounds. Now, is that going to happen again? No, but like this goes back to the reason, you know, I think a week ago or so, like Kevin Love was out. And I thought to myself, you know, with Love being out, isn't he going to stumble and bumble into more playing time and into more rebounds? And that happened when Love went out on Sunday. So could that potentially happen against Dallas? And Dallas is a really bad rebounding team. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it does put Tristan Thompson in play on Monday if you want to punt center. Then you got Okafor and Bismack and Olynyk. Not really for me. Olynyk, if you want to play him in tournaments, you can do it. He does have the most upside out of the Boston bigs, that's for sure. And then that's about it. I'm not playing Salam Mesri. Wow, Bogut's down to the minimum. Bogut is down to the bare minimum. I'm pretty sure Bogut played like 8 minutes against the Spurs, so I probably will not be playing Bogut. All right, that's it. That's the slate. We got through it. Man, that felt like a really – I'm exhausted. I don't know if you – are you guys tired? Man, I feel beat. All right. Hope you guys had a lovely weekend. Hope you made some money on Sunday. Remember the different slates going on Monday. So you got the 6 p.m. slate with the Philly Sacramento game, and then you have like the 7 or 7:30 p.m. main slate that's only 5 games and does not include the Philly Sacramento. So just keep your eye on that on Monday. Don't be caught by surprise by that. Any questions? Tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Other than that, I'm exhausted. I need to go to bed. For me, the bailiff, we'll see you tomorrow. Court is adjourned.